in life for free. But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money. That's what I want. That's what I want.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV back on the board. We'll see how this goes. But she looks bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Good to see her back. Welcome back, AV. Are you there? You don't have your mic on, I don't think. Anyway, welcome back. S&P futures up 57. NASDAQ futures up 155. We're about a third of the way back. We were down yesterday. Brutal day yesterday. 6-7% everywhere across the board. Kevin, are you there?
Good morning.
I just welcomed AV back, but she must have been answering the phone. Welcome back,
yeah,
AV.
Picked up. You're back. That's great.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, well, she's giving me grief already on the way in this morning, so things don't change, you know.
Yeah. Hey, before we get started, I have a statement to make. I want to say that, you know, all free men, wherever they live, are citizens of Chaz. And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein Chazer.
Yeah, yes.
You know what Chaz is, don't you, Tom?
Refresh everybody.
It's the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone.
Ah.
It's the area that has been taken over in...
In Seattle.
Yep.
I thought they busted that up last night, or were going to, or something.
No. Yeah, Trump has, you know, he said last night that if Seattle doesn't take care of it, he will. I don't know that he will, but, you know... When it comes to Donald Trump, you have to go by what he actually does rather than what he says he's going to do, because they can be different.
You know, sometimes when people want to act like kids, you sort of have to treat them like kids, and if they want to put a tent up in the backyard because they want to leave the house, just leave it there till the first cold day, they'll come in, kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe. You know, in Seattle, it doesn't get cold. It just
rains.
It just rains.
Yeah.
So, you know, the story is, what's really going to happen is the people will begin to rust.
Well, that's not a bad idea either. Here's one. Joanna Hoffman, whoever the hell she is. Facebook is peddling an addictive drug called anger. I'm not so sure she's off on that, Kevin.
Probably not. Well, and I don't, you know, it's Facebook, it's a lot of places, you know, it's every cable media outlet is peddling anger for whatever it's advocating.
I was, if I would have been Elvis, well, first of all, I could sing, but, I wouldn't like the sideburns, though. If I had a gun, like shooting, they had the guy on who was ahead of, what was it, Snapchat? This young guy talking about they'll take care of, you know, making sure who gets on there, who's not. They have a group that figures out whether it's right or wrong or everything. Kevin, I'm listening to the guy going, if he was a teenager, you would smack him. He's got it all figured out, and his guys will let you know whether something is good or bad for society. I mean,
it's nice to be that sure of yourself, I suppose.
How is it that, I don't know if I ever felt like that, but I sure don't feel like that now. That I got all the answers.
Oh, yeah, you know, I never thought I was smarter and was actually dumber than when I was 20.
Yeah, well, it's, I guess
and I think, you know, part of that realization is that, you know, that you don't have all the answers, and the longer you go, the more you realize that. And then part two is that you there's a lot of wisdom out there in the world if you're willing to listen to it.
Well, I mean, there's people that have decided after a real lot of blood and stuff that censorship of ideas is wrong. Yet how did we get? Before our man, Mr. Weber, matured, Lou used to give no one a crap about being a moral relativist. That if he just figured something was right, or his buddies or somebody, that somehow it was right, or somebody would, you know, if you go somewhere and somebody you know, ate people's heads after they were dead, you'd say, well, it's okay for them. You know, it's all right. No, it's not all right. To eat people's heads. I mean, this generation, have they never been told no ever once? They don't seem to care about any history or any processes. Well, if I think the guy's guilty, he's guilty. Well, if I think it's okay, it's okay. If I think that every single policeman is a racist, then he must be. Well, no, he's not. I mean,
yeah, you know, Tom, I get what you're saying. I'm not willing to go to the extent that I think that I can lay it off on a whole generation.
No, I'm not exposed
to way too many people now.
In
that generation and across multiple generations, honestly, who are really, really thoughtful, open-minded.
All right, well, let's make the question simpler. How the hell did those people get on TV?
Well, that's different. Yeah. I have no idea how that happened.
How did I get to be a president of a company? When was it Zuckerberg, or who's the other guy? It was Zuckerberg. He was on one day talking about he has a group of five or six people that will decide what's politically correct and what isn't at Facebook. Really? You're going to decide? We've decided in this country, like, courts can't even decide. You get to write what you want to write. And now you're going to decide? It's really amazing how anything that, you know, censorship is, like, horrible unless, like, I do it. Then it's okay.
Well, yeah, and you know, look, he has his private business, and he's not being treated as a media outlet. So you know, he has every right to do that. But don't try to tell us that you're open minded to different kinds of messages, or that you're in any way balanced or free about that.
And, hey, you know, enlighten me here.
Then that's one of the biggest problems. Now, there's another problem with it, and that's that they've become so ubiquitous that competition is not likely. It's certainly not likely in the short run. Although we would have told you that MySpace, we might have said that competition for them isn't likely either. And you all remember MySpace from way back when, don't you? So, you know, maybe we'll find some alternatives, and then they can really, you know, then edit away. Edit however you want, and people who don't like it can go elsewhere. But right now, it's almost like a public utility, especially as we've gone through this whole lockdown period. And so, you know, their version of what should and shouldn't make the cut is certainly influential and unduly influential in our society at the moment.
I'm not one of these guys that likes to, I'm not a censor. I think people should be able to get their ideas out there and so forth, but there's like a filter, Kevin, how can I put this in a sports thing? If you wanted to play football, you probably needed to be able to run 10 sprints or they wouldn't even look at you, right? You had to be in some semblance of condition before you, But if you wanted to put, you know, your views up on the city bulletin board, you at least had to write them up, get your ass over there, and tack the thing up there. There was a certain effort to it. And when you decided to tell somebody he's a horse's ass, you pretty much had to write him a letter. So you had to write it, type it. Well, maybe you didn't have to type it. My handwriting, I had to type it, or somebody had to type it. I had to sign it. I had to read it again. There's somewhat of an effort filter to doing things that maybe you didn't want to do. I mean, Warren Buffett, and I don't think the guy's a god or anything, but one thing he said that I always remember, he goes, you can always reserve the right to call somebody a son of a bitch tomorrow if you still feel the same way. You don't necessarily have to do it today. You might want to think on it just a little bit. And I think when one of the guys who's on CNBC said, he goes, I just made myself a new rule. No Twitters after one beer. I mean, it's way too easy now for people somehow to get things they maybe didn't think through out there. I think. I mean, there should be some, before you communicate to 100 million people. I mean, just think of all the athletes or all the movie stars or whatever you want to call them. That now all of a sudden, if she was still alive, Elizabeth Taylor says she hates the police. Who the hell cares? And by the way, did Elizabeth Taylor write up a column as to why and in what concept? Do we care about, first of all, it might not even be correct that she hates the police, right? I mean, but these one-line things from people, they don't even know if they did them or not, but any explanation, any effort on their part, somehow it's almost like degrading of the thought process to me. I can't, there's no fix to it. It just seems weird to me. Am I that off with this?
No, I don't think you're off. A couple of catchphrases I like to use. One is, you know, people need to understand the value of an unexpressed thought. That would be number one. Number two is that it is okay to type at your keyboard. It's not always okay to click send.
Yes, I think that's probably true. So what do you...
Sometimes it's very cathartic to actually type some kind of angry response or crazy thought. But you know what? You don't have to send it.
Here's the headline. What does this mean to anybody? Serena Williams' coach... Okay, so Serena's a big star. I happen to like the lady. I have no idea who the hell her coach is, and I don't care. Says tennis may no longer be the same after coronavirus crisis. Now, who gets this headline? Did this gentleman or lady, did they write a whole column based on why they think that, and yes or no, and you could disagree or not agree? What does this headline mean to anybody, other than it's a piece of crap sitting here on my screen? What does it mean not be the same? Nothing's ever the same, Kevin.
Well, and again, that's the, you know, the unexpressed thought concept. Why would I care? What on earth would seem to matter to me about Serena Williams' coach, especially when it comes to something that's either related to medicine or statistics or whatever.
Plus, can you think of a game where
you know, the whole virus topic is not, it's not just something that, you know, that the guy up the, you know, three stools down at the bar can express an important and valuable opinion about it. It's not the same.
Well, can you think of a sport other than maybe baseball where you're further away from your opponent? I suppose some parts of soccer.
I suppose hunting.
Yeah. Well, your opponent,
if you consider that a sport.
Your opponent can't exactly shoot back. But I mean, the thing I want to talk a few minutes, and we want to talk about the market yesterday. I think that the news media, which we, and I'm not into the right versus the left, although I know they both have their foibles and their people, and that's how they get their money, to be honest. But I don't, I think Walter Cronkite, when he came back from Vietnam, and he said, this is, I mean, he never had an editorial view in his show up until then. And most people can say that he contributed a lot to the end of the war when he said, this thing's not winnable, what are we doing? He spent, 2 weeks over there and he came back with that conclusion? Because he had given a thought like that so seldom, people paid attention. It's like Jack Prickow saying, Ernie Banks never argues with the umpire, so when he says something, you really should listen to him. Is there anybody around here that thinks now that that's the case? You should just talk all you want. The more you talk, the more people care? Whatever. But what I'm saying is, I don't think if you were to, you know, put them in a, not that I'm advocating this, in a, what are these things, waterboard, if you waterboard the chairman of Fox and CNBC, not CNBC so much, but MSNBC, they will tell you the last thing they want is peace and tranquility. There's no money in that. I think that they're part and parcel what's splitting us apart. The fact that we have this 24-hour crap going on, and all we do is put one person against the next. There's people that, you get some of these emails, not all of them, that most of these guys are from the right, it just happens to be. And in every single article, did you see this, did you see that? I get some of those from the left. This is not a right versus left thing. And every once a week, I finally have had enough, and I write back, can you guys please stand down? This article has spun around for 4 days now. What difference does it make? There's a mole under every rock. It's somebody somewhere on some site is citing to someplace. Kevin, do these people need a life or a job or what?
I think that's part of it. You know, it is important to remember everybody has an audience. And what that means is that, you know, and you see it because in your role you do have a lot of things that are sent your way.
Yep.
And you have to sift through because you may get, you know, 25 things and only one of them has any real value to it. Everybody has an audience out there, and I think that's always been true. You know, I know that, in my work life that, you know, when you start to think of, your employee who's never, who's perpetually disgruntled, you think, well, you know, that's just that Tom Howe guy. It doesn't represent everybody. And the answer to that is, well, but Tom Howe has an audience. There is somebody out there who listens to him. Don't know who that is necessarily. But that person exists. Well, now in the era we're in with the technology that we have, that audience does exist, and that audience can be more substantial than ever before.
Well, I mean, I think that's
something that we need to keep in mind as we evaluate this stuff. Is even if we dismiss it, somebody isn't, and it's important to know. You know who those people are, and how you address their beliefs and so on, because we all are kind of interconnected and can't avoid each other.
I would agree with that.
I'll tell you, I get as guilty as anybody sometimes. There's just times, you know, when I get angry in an argument, that's when I get sloppy. On fact checking, that's when I get I get into a mode where I'm not trying to problem solve anymore, or I'm not trying to listen. I'm not trying to listen to hear. I'm just trying to listen so that I'm formulating a response when I do it. That's just the way the way we're wired as human beings, and it's not necessarily good, but it plays out at the speed of light.
Well, I think to a certain extent, and I'm not again. Going generation after generation, because obviously I'm in this one. But it seemed to me that when I'll go back to my Pullman days, the guy who showed up and either welded all day or did this or that or, you know, assembled the seats or did whatever he did, he had no time for this crap, Kevin. And the world was, I work, I go home, maybe I watch the 5 o'clock news, I have dinner with the family. We either do something as a family, or it's my bowling night, or it's the wife's bridge night, or something. And the women, a lot of them work. In my neighborhood, a lot of them somewhere, but a lot of them didn't. A lot of them were, but a housewife worked her fanny off between doing all the stuff that, you know. I mean, that was we talk about a real job. I mean, those two of them, the husband wife economic combo. I'm not saying who worked, who went to work, and who didn't, but. Taking care of a house, taking care of kids, and earning enough to pay for it all is a serious job for two people, no matter how you split it up. You just didn't have time to be hanging on. Now, I of course had one aunt with no kids, and she was a soap opera lady after she retired and watched those things. You always had people that did that watched the daytime. But by and large, you didn't have, if somebody sent out a tweet at 11 in the morning, knock yourself out. Who's going to see it? Because, I'm going to say, on Sunday mornings on the south side, when you guys came down and we played two games of softball to play, the last thing we were doing is somebody banging on a cell phone wondering if some idiot congressman tweeted something at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
And now you might do that between innings.
Not on my team. You better be careful.
Not on your team, yeah.
But, I guess what I'm saying is somehow or another we've, and you look at this, quote, progress. And I remember reading something about speakers. There was a speaker of the House, either in the late Eisenhower years or the early Kennedy years, one of the two. And they said the guy had, like 10 or 12 people working for him. 8 or 10 of them were essentially middle-aged housewives from Washington. No computers. All he did was type and had, what do you call them, mimeograph machines or those kinds of things, copy machines. And they produced, in like the 2 years the guy was there, X number of bills and blah, 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 blah. And fast forwarded like they fast forward like 25 years, the speaker has like 30 people there or 40, more computers than you can shake a stick at, and they did like half as many bills. So all the efficiency that people think should be there, I don't know what they're doing all day now, watching tweets, doing emails, but the fact is, we're nowhere near as more efficient at regular stuff than you think we would be. Today, you would think the same 12 people would be able to work 5 hours, go home and take care of their kids and have a better life. That's not the way it's worked out. They have more people there doing less. I mean, I'm saying it's weird. I can't put my finger on it. I'm not going to say go back to the 50s because there was a lot of problems there, but you know what I'm saying? Somehow or another, everything I read about in economic theory is if you have greater capacity, if you have robotics, if you have these things, it means that the people remaining make more money than because now there's more blue jeans per person coming out the door, and the people who you lay off now, because those guys are making more money there, should be able to find somewhere else because they have a job, they can spend more money. None of that theory has kind of worked out somehow. Maybe, you know, give it the Chinese thing, give it some. When you see, we're just talking to AV on the way in, and she couldn't believe all the demonstrations and so forth. I said, AV, it's not just there's a serious anger going on here. It has to do with the split in the economic, shall we say, good place that people are in. When you have, you know, what percentage of people making what percentage of the money, you have people at home not working, not unemployment, not knowing if they're ever going back to work. There's a massive anger that got shut up in somebody's house or all these houses, and unfortunately, this thing was a match to that, and a lot of people are out protesting because of that. A lot of the people are just, well, I'm protesting about something. This happens to be it. I mean, does anybody really think that Francis Ferdinand, nobody gave a crap about, that his murder started World War I? That there wouldn't have been a war from some other reason? Right? I mean, who cared about him? Nobody.
Yeah, it was a result in search of a catalyst.
Yes. I mean, I think a lot of people here are angry for, they look at this country and they say, where are we headed? Are we at a place 5 years from now where the African-American community is a lot better off than they are now? But by the way, there's a lot of people in the white community that aren't doing so hot either, or Hispanic community. When we talk about how bad the African-American community is doing, it's not like they're singularly doing bad. They happen to be doing worse in a lot of areas, and it's definitely a subject that we need to address, but it's not like every other person here has got some spectacular job except people in the black community. I mean, there's enough problems here, like, to go around, and the people on the lower end of it that may, you know, have other issues, maybe some discrimination and other stuff, they're just the people that get it worse, right?
Well, I think that's part of it. I go back to your productivity point, too, and that is that I think people confuse activity with productivity.
Yeah.
So in many cases, technology has given us the ability to have more activity going at any given time, but that doesn't necessarily translate to productivity. It can in many cases and does in many cases. And, you know, and I think we're seeing a certain amount of that in the protest movement, too, that, it may be people who are just trying to spout off somehow, some way. I think there's a fair amount of it that is, you know, pretty well organized and orchestrated, and it's been hanging out there looking for its own catalyst. And then, but it's also, you know, we have a lot of protest that is activity, but it seems pretty pointless. It's not, if it's making a point, it's not making a point very well. And that's where it breaks down. That's a huge problem because, they're not bringing people to the cause. You know, they're not articulating a cause properly in a way that's going to bring people to it. And then it just becomes activity rather than a productive endeavor.
Well, there was a protest last night over in Hyde Park, and I'm going to find this thing here on my deadclock.org. She was an African American lady, and she's talking about, they were talking about affordable housing for people. Now, you know, and you sit there, and maybe if you're, A, if you're tired of listening to people talk about stuff, you're dissing her. I wasn't, and the reason why I wasn't is because the, A, she seemed like a peaceful, nice lady who happened to be talking about something. Now, if you're something, if you're tired of listening to it or whatever, you're going to say everybody wants a handout. Okay, why should her housing be any more affordable than somebody else? When's the last time she had a job? Well, the fact is, she probably had a job, probably has always had a job. But we only have 30 seconds here before the break. But right here, and this I'll lead into after the break, I'm looking right here at the debtclock.org. Median income right now, $34,000. Median income, $2,000, $30,000. Median new homes right now, $323,000. Median new home in 2000, $164,000. I've given those numbers out 30 times on this show. Now, that lady probably couldn't find the site here that I'm looking at, but she's saying the exact same thing, Kevin, isn't she? SP Futures up 56. We're about, like I said, a third of the way back. NASDAQ Futures up 155. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. She's AV Angelica Vlasenko on the board. Mr. Kevin O'Neill. So, guess what AV's comment was on the way in, Kevin?
Well, let me see. Her comment on the way in was probably, oh, I can't wait to talk to that Kevin guy. It's been such a long time, and I really, really enjoy chatting
with
him.
I can't wait to ride in with Chief.
But if that isn't it, then I'm out of guesses.
She said, everybody's mad at the police. They should have the Russian police here for 2 days. They'd welcome their police back. Just saying. You know, I'm sure that's very... Those guys probably take a different view of the world. Anyway, S&P futures up 56. NASDAQ futures up 156. We'll get over here to the other machine here because I've got all kinds of stuff going here. The Dow up 528. That's 2%. Remember, we're down like 7 yesterday. So we're gaining some back. Over in Europe, we're up 115. And these guys were down multiple percentages yesterday. That's 1%. FTSE up 75, 1.2%. CAC around up 90, 1.9%. Over in Asia, the Nikkei down 167 because they weren't down that much, so we're still kind of catching up. 0.7%. Shanghai, however, down 1. They didn't move much yesterday either, so that's flat. Hang Seng down 178.7. Bonds down to 0.7. They were up almost, we were talking about them going over a point. 0.7 going the other way. Bund minus 0.41. Japan still steady of it, positive 0.02. Oil up 9 cents, but 36.43 was down like 10%. Yesterday, Brent up 22 cents, 38.77. Natural gas, 178. RBOB, 110, so down some there. Gold up $3, 17.42. Silver down 14 cents, 17.74. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather sports. And what's that helicopter doing out there? Is there some big accident?
They're watching for me.
Well, I know what it's there for. They closed the ramp from the inbound Eisenhower to the northbound Kennedy. So the burner interchange, Kevin, I'm going to say is half done. Was supposed to be done in 2018, which was a while ago, wasn't it?
Been a while, yeah.
So, AB, what do you got for us?
Good morning, friends. Glad to be back. Things been harsh lately, but we're on it. It's 64 degrees right now in Chicago. Beautiful day, sunny and clear skies. 67 should be the highest of the day. 80 degrees in Phoenix, hot and sunny. And there is no traffic for now in Chicago, just some few road constructions that may cause some delays.
Yeah, no sports, which you like either, but as well.
There are sports in life.
There are sports in life, yeah.
Just
not right now.
No business in sports.
Kevin, I'm astounded. I got this thing from, maybe I'll read a couple out on Monday. One of my buddies from Pullman, he's always been talk about a serious wordsmith. He's always been a guy. He was a writer. Remember Taylor Bell?
Sure.
Taylor Bell, for those that don't know, was the master of prep sports in Chicago. And he had what do you call them, stringers? He had guys all over the place and ladies. But Kevin, you would have been a stringer. Well, actually, Dave Westhouse, who worked at PTI here forever, was a stringer, where you'd go to a prep game, be it football or be it basketball, and immediately you would call Taylor Bell's hotline afterward, and you would give maybe a paragraph about the game and who the star was and then who won. Because that's how they found out about stuff. Well, Bob done that forever, but he sends us a cigar with like 25 quotes the other day. I was dying laughing. One of them was some kid who played truant, didn't go to school, stayed home. He thought his parents were out of town and smoked some weed. Got no into trouble, got suspended. Now, if schools are closed, the churches are closed, and by the way, the marijuana joints are open, so they're encouraging you to stay home and smoke weed.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I don't think the thought hasn't crossed my mind.
We are in bizarro world, as our friend Bob used to say.
We are in bizarro world for sure. And you know what? Sometimes it's good to be old.
Yeah.
Because you can sort of sit, you know, it's almost like sitting on the porch in your rocker and just criticize the world as it happens in front of your eyes. I keep telling my kids, you know, look, I don't have to deal with this as long as you guys are going to have to deal with it. You know, so I really would like to see us do better. I said, but you really, really need us to do better because you're going to do this for more decades than I am.
Well, you know, I mentioned his name, but this, for some reason this week, I'm really missing Bob because his absolute knowledge of stuff like this and the tax laws and so forth and his total dry sense of humor would really have been something during this crisis, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say that it's the comments that you'd get to.
Because he'd say like nothing and all of a sudden he'd be out with one and go, wow. Anyway, I know it's a habit of mine and it's probably why people don't listen and also by why people do listen is when you see these numbers grow and you see them happen, you never know, Kevin, where I'll be gross. When the zit is going to pop, right? You really don't know. But you know it's going to. And when you look at here and you say, wait a minute. Income's up 10% for median people and the house has doubled. Someday, somewhere, you're going to get somebody, the African-American female, God knows who, Indian, could be a president who somehow is pandering or something or trying to do something about it. Someday, somewhere, it's going to be, it is being noticed all over the place and has been for 15 years, and someday it becomes news. And it's one of the reasons why, Kevin, I love the market, the challenge, because you can see, you know, the schools of sharks or wherever it is all kind of forming. You never know when they're going to jump and bite the person's leg off or go the other way, you know, that they head off. And you never know when somehow things become the fire's big enough to where you can cook your hot dog or something. It's just, I mean, in one of the articles here yesterday, everybody's frantically trying to figure out, anybody in the business, I got people calling and so forth. Hey, Chief, why the hell is the market down so much? Well, you know, you never really know, Kevin. There's something with the coronavirus. But then this article I drop on here, because somebody on TV said something about debt. Now, when you look at all the AV, pay attention, all the people, you know, protesting and so forth. The household debt, total domestic non-financial debt, in the last quarter, what do you think it grew by, Kevin?
Oh, you know, I saw the article, and whatever it is, it's an utterly huge number.
So 11.7%. It's up like $5 or $6 trillion in a quarter. And the debt had increased by 2.2% in the previous quarter, and in the same quarter, household equity went down. So if you just looked at those two numbers, and you're a behavioral economist, half-assed one like me, but I learned from people who weren't half-assed ones. They were Nobel Prize winners. You look at that number, this would be a Milton Friedman or a George Stigler final. They'd give you these three lines. Total domestic non-financial debt up by 11.7% to $55.9 trillion, and then whatever the equity number went down like 3 or 4%. Give me a stock and flow analysis of how this is going to affect the economy and what you should expect in elections and things like that, and in society. That would be the final. They just give you these numbers, and you're supposed to sit there. Okay, now how does this all play out? I mean, that's the, and you know, I'm not going to say in the middle of a demonstration somebody's going to say we need affordable housing and she'd be wearing a mask because everybody's wearing a mask even outside and she might be loud about it or whatever. And people look at it and say, here's just another black person, you know, bitching about something. The fact is, she's absolutely right. Absolutely right. Right? I mean,
here's the thing is you start looking at all of that, you know, that real data type of stuff. And its impact, and that we really, really need, and it's not just addressing the outcomes; it's addressing the underlying fundamentals that are causing a lot of adverse outcomes. And so you look at all of that and think, "Man, this is really important." How much of it's going to get discussed in the next presidential campaign?
Zero. I'm going to say,
and this is where we are. This is our problem, and you know, it's not just this presidential campaign; it's the last one. It's the one before that. It's all about stupid stuff.
Well, how is it, Kevin? We're supposed to have this in this day and age where people, like to think of themselves as, I mean, this is, we've got so many swinging idiots that think that they are newspaper people or something, or the Twitter people, or all the guys that write me, and the ladies. They all think that they're part of this news process. Explain to me, Lucy, how the hell Powell can have a news conference with, they're all at home now, with all these morons, male and female, individually or not, but how does somebody not say, Chairman Powell, you've said interest rates are going to remain zero till forever, basically. You saw Amazon go get money 2 weeks ago for the unheard of price of like 1% or some crap, or some was less than that, and then the 40-year was more, so they averaged it about 1.2 or something. How are people in this country still paying 25% on credit cards on your watch? What is nobody asked that, Kevin? Why isn't the most anybody's paying in this country on anything 10% when the rate's zero for other people?
Well, and how is it that an industry that was bailed out with federal money doesn't have any requirements to serve the public?
Kevin, I'm
as big a free markets and capitalism guy as you want to find, but I also think that when you violate one side of the free market, that comes with a cost, and that cost in this case for the banking industry or the lending industry in general should be you have to provide a public good here. Now you're using government money. You need to do that, and if you don't, then hey, just don't take the bailout money. No problem. Don't take the bailout money. Charge whatever the market will bear.
Well, we had there was a huge threat of this is a different group than you're in, but I get the same group from these guys, the same kind of thing. And one of the guys was all over the election and how it's socialism and the Democrats want socialism and all of us like real guys want what we have now is like a meritocracy or whatever, capitalism. I couldn't stand it, Kevin. I finally wrote like a half a page and I said, what is wrong with you people? You know that nobody that you know of, I mean, I know theoretically you feel the same way I do and a lot of the people on the show do. I'd say most of us do. But nobody has lived his life wanting a meritocracy and competitive capitalism like I have. I was 20 years on the trading floor, the absolute bastion of competitiveness. Then my own firm, and watch it go downhill as everybody else. The firm's not going downhill, but the industry's going downhill because I've got to reinvent the firm four or five times because I watch people just put other people out of business through largesse of government. Anybody who thinks that the current situation right now is free market capitalism or meritocracy, his head so far up his ass he can't see. I mean, I don't know what to describe this. Lou's probably the best with some combination of fascism and crony capitalism. But anybody who thinks I'm not saying socialism the answer. You know me too well to say that. But this is not the answer either. I don't think. Do you?
No, I don't think so either, and yet we're not moving in that direction, and hardly anybody of significant political voice is even talking about it. Now, you know, there are people who talk about income inequality and things like that, but see, again, they're looking at outcomes, not the process that leads to those outcomes, and that's a big problem. You know, in the real world, people who have to actually make money for a living, and there is more meritocracy in kind of a smaller business community like where I live.
Yes, yes.
Where there are very, very few large corporations and very few that have that kind of influence over government that they can game the system. So it is a little bit different competitive environment, and in that environment, if you aren't, you know, really learning to research, to dig into problems and solve them at the cause level, at the root cause level, then you know what? You're gonna fail.
Well,
yet at the government level, we just want to engineer outcomes. We don't get into root causes very well.
But every it is so insidious, Kevin. I was listening to our producer, Mr. Matt Weber, has a real job. I'm not going to go into what he does, but let's just say he's an expert on credit cards and credit card security and things like that. You would never guess it. Actually, you would, because Matty's a pretty bright kid. Well, he's a kid to me anyway. And just the simple stuff.
Everybody's
like,
a kid to you and
yes,
me.
I know. But just the simple stuff of when you go someplace to use your credit card. Of course, nobody wants to use cash. Couldn't possibly use cash. You couldn't help out the smaller guy knowing that he's paying out the ass basically to the credit card company. Because the banks now, because they essentially cover, you'll get a thing from U.S. Bank and they'll say if there's a problem with a charge, they'll take care of it if somebody steals your number or something. Well, the reason how they take care of it is they jam fees down to the merchant. Now, those fees to Chief and Kevin and Angelica's hot dog stand are much higher than they are to Target on a per-person basis, correct? So every little thing that happens, our place, an audit for 2 weeks where there's four auditors and eight of us, is a hell of a lot different than an audit to Merrill Lynch where there's 50 auditors and 5,000 people or 10,000 people. It's not even close, Kevin. We're not even on the same planet. This is relentless.
And the risk associated with those companies and having and things that might result in an audit finding ain't close either.
No.
Which doesn't change a thing.
No, it is absolutely relentless. And when you say nobody says stuff, I Jim Cramer last week, all he talked about, when it comes to his market calls, sometimes I think he's out on the ledge a little bit because he gets a little too enamored with the heads of these companies. But by the same token, he knows them all, and I don't, so I'm jealous about that. And the guy's a nice encyclopedia about companies and their who manages them and their ticker symbol. I've never been any good at any of that stuff. However, he came out and said this particular thing. This epidemic or pandemic or whatever you want to call it, wherever history is written about it, has made one of the biggest wealth transfers we've ever had. And we have Lori Lightfoot, going to fire a policeman who flipped off somebody who probably threw something at him, and yet she says F you to the president and she's okay. I don't think I've ever seen a public figure that has two sets of rules like this lady. You can't go to the barber. By the way, he's got my hair cut. I've never seen anything like that, Kevin, ever.
I've seen her hairstyle. She could have done do-it-yourself just fine.
God. Well,
nobody would have known the difference.
Well, what I'm saying is it's right there. People are noticing it, but nothing happened. The idea that stores are shut down to do stuff and yet other people can sell the same products in their place, that's unconscionable, Kevin. And yet we don't even care. Nobody cares. I'll just go to Target. I don't give a bleep. I'll go to Sam's Club. I don't care. Doesn't anybody realize? Like my grandfather used to. No, I'm not wearing non-union overalls. Do we not? When people go to Thomas and Audrey, Thomas was buying something for his apartment. Audrey, of course, would go shopping with anybody. And I, of course, got the truck. So the three of us head out to IKEA. This is a while ago, and I have no interest in shopping ever. So the two of them wander off, And all I did, I walked around and was checking the place for things, and every single thing in the place is made in China, Kevin. Every shot glass, every wine glass, every, you name it, every counter, every little desk that was kind of neat was made in China.
I don't think that much of that's going to change.
No.
I think a lot of key supplies are in the process right now of changing. So it starts with the medical, but it gets into things like parts for all kinds of industrial equipment, all of that. I think that's all. That's going to change.
Well, the one medication I take, I get it this month, and Larry in the office, he does RIB stuff, good guy. He says, I said, somehow it was a little cheaper this time. So he, of course, digs into it. He's Mr. Research when it comes to that stuff. He goes, your medicine came from, like, Madagascar. And I go, where? I guess it's better than China, but I don't know. Who the hell has, how do you inspect a plant in Madagascar, for God's sake?
Well, and the issue, that isn't even as much of the issue as, you're talking what's forcing the change is reliability of the supply chain, and you know, is Madagascar really that much more reliable than China? It might not be as nefarious as China, but is it any more reliable? And I don't know that it is, and I think that's what we're going to run into. Hey, in the few minutes we have left, on a positive note, state of Indiana accelerated its stage 4 of 5 opening to today. So there are more things that those of us who live half of our lives in Indiana are going to be able to do, and we're still on track for July 4th or sooner for the fully reopened.
I have a question for you. We've all sent out.
So when are you moving?
Yeah, well, we have. No kidding. When Maddie sent out, there was an article. I still have it up here. An article by Carl Friston, and he's not a doctor. He's a numbers man, and he's been tracing the epidemic pandemic in virtually every country around, just taking the numbers. And of course, the numbers aren't so hot in a lot of places, but. It is. Did you read that, Kevin? It is fascinating what he's finding. It's not like, you know, Lori was wrong, Jay was wrong, Trump was wrong, Boris. He's finding that in different societies, different nationalities, maybe slightly different gene structures, that the deadliness or lack thereof of the disease is dramatically different. And it comes down to, he's thinking of the reason why Sweden, who didn't do anything, numbers are about the same as Britain when Britain locked the whole place down and still is. We needed a note to go out your door. Might just be a difference in why Swedish people are just not as susceptible for some reason. I mean, he's seen us in too many places.
Well, it's probably. Do you have Carl coming on next?
No, we have a Hal Snar, professor.
Oh, even I was going to say even better, but just as good at least.
Yeah.
It'll be good to have Hal on there for the first time in a while. But where I'm going is it may be partly a function of how many mutations it has taken for the virus to get to that country. I would put that as a hypothesis to test. I'm trying to think of some of the other things that might be factors. Certainly lifestyle, how much indoor versus outdoor, although I don't think Sweden is known as it is an outdoor society. Maybe it's more of an outdoor society in the winter than we are. And Sweden's mortality rate is actually, if I remember correctly, is higher than some places. However, its infection rate is not. So I don't know what that means. Some of it is age of the population. Some of it is, oh my goodness, what else is a factor? Multiple generations. We're seeing this now in Elkhart as we test more in Elkhart County. Well, it so happens we have a very large Hispanic population, and there are more multi-generational households, as there are in the Amish areas that are nearby. And in Elkhart County, they're testing more Amish households now. And so we're seeing a spike up. None of it's threatening the healthcare system from a hospitalization standpoint or anything like that. But the statistics now are just, they're just a little... we're in new panic over a resurgence, and in fact, the resurgence is it might be real in terms of the numbers, but it's not real in terms of percentage of positive tests or its threat to the number of hospital beds available or anything like that.
Now, what you did is no governor would ever do, if or no newspaper man, they would just say. The amount of cases are up. Indiana's all screwed up, and the governor's an idiot. That's what.
Actually, I sat through the governor's press conference though, and they specifically addressed it. And they specifically addressed, Elkhart and what's the county right next to us?
St. Joe.
Right next to Elkhart.
St. Joe.
I'm just drawing a blank on that. But they specifically addressed those two counties, and they talked about those. Factors and all they said is we're watching it. We're keeping tabs on it. And if we need to dial it back a little bit there, okay, we'll dial it back a little bit.
Well, I mean, and these guys will never.
It's just so refreshing. I don't know much about Eric Holcomb as a governor. I haven't paid that close of attention to him in his few years in office. But darn, every time I watch one of his press conferences on coronavirus, I'm sitting there struck saying, this guy sounds like a common sense, you know, normal person who has a command of the facts, but at the same time is pretty plain spoken. And LaGrange County is the one I was thinking of.
There's a county between St. Joe and Elkhart?
LaGrange?
There was between.
No, it's east of Elkhart.
All right.
St. Joseph County and Elkhart County actually butt up against each other. And if you took that line and that county line and drew it straight north, you'd probably go right through my house.
Okay, well, I mean, that's what I was railing about yesterday, Kevin. I'm seeing like every day I'm railing about something. That's the thing I can't handle about Jay Pritzker. Oh my God, there's twice as many tests, twice as many people. He always leaves out the part about, well, by the way, we gave three times as many tests, or twice as many, or whatever it is. I can't stand that. Ever since I watched Sammy Sosa in front of Congress, the half story bothers me more than the lying, almost. Because it's worse in a lot of ways.
Well, how about this? In Florida, confirmed cases have risen 28%.
Okay, no, but that's
tests have increased 37%.
Yeah, that's just part of. The next word out of your mouth should be and, right?
And yes, yeah. You start to see that. Arizona, on the other hand, cases have increased 73% in the last 2 weeks, and tests have increased just 53%. What's that about? All of a sudden they are testing on Native American reservations.
Okay.
Which has proven to be an exceptionally high risk population. So you run into that. And these are the things where, you know, we have people, media creatures just freaking out because you go back to what you said earlier, that scare sells. But I think it's more than just what sells. I think there's an ideology that drives it as well. Again, they're looking for political outcomes, and in the process of looking for political outcomes, that colors how they report things.
Well, I'm really stunned, Kevin, as being a lifelong Democrat, how much the new left wants to govern your every day. That used to be that the Democrats wanted people to have freedom. Now it's the other way around. I wonder that all change. We'll have to talk about that on Wednesday. Was there a time, or was there? I don't see Paul Simon, Adlai Stevenson, Paul Douglas rolling with this crap at all. Those are my guys. I mean, and I don't know. Maybe it's just because they're tired of the sneaky big people getting ahead of the other people or something. I don't think the government can help them. There's got to be some.
Yeah, I don't know because. You know, really, to get people to comply is something that you have to do by force if you want mass compliance.
Or you can get people to comply with each other, like the Gestapo did. Everybody's told everybody else.
I suppose
that's what we're doing now. SP futures up 45. We're making a comeback from yesterday. Right now, not even a third, but maybe 30% of the way back. Nasdaq futures up 121. Be right back, Professor Hal Snarr.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This is John Neal from PTI Securities. Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But if you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty and the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes, have you been frustrated by the lack of income your investments have provided? If you have answered yes to either of these questions, then we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. So please give me a call at 602-298-1278, 602-298-1278, so that I can explain further the benefits that PTI can offer you and your portfolio.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter: the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Welcome to Pick Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. She's AV on the board. SP Futures up 46. Nasdaq Futures up 119. Is that scruffle in the background? Is that our snarky professor, Mr. Hal Snar, professor?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you, buddy? Hey, rumor has it that now that the churches are closed, the schools are closed, but the marijuana joints are open, that you're hanging at home just chilling, dude.
Well, actually, we've been out in our motorhome quite a bit. I'm not one to be locked down. I get cabin fever really easily, so we've actually been out in our motorhome about four times for at least two or three days in a row.
What do you find? Are the parks open and stuff?
Well, out in Utah, the parks have been open since about, I think, May 1st or so. So the first park we went to was in Heber, and it has a really nice swimming pool, and the kids were able to swim, and basketball courts. We got outside, and it was pretty fun. We had been locked up in the house for March, so being outside with bicycles and swimming pools and basketball courts.
How old are the kids, the triplets? How old are the triplets?
Oh, they're six now.
Wow. I bet you never thought you'd make that 6 years.
Oh man, the first 2 years was rough. I mean, I just started a new job. We just moved to North Carolina, and we had bought a small condo downtown. And about 2 months after moving to Utah, The doctor tells us we're having triplets, so we kind of end up turning our world upside down. But it, I mean, it's been hard, hardest thing I've ever done, but easily the best thing.
Was so you sold the vet and you got the tan minivan first day.
Well, we didn't sell that downtown condo. We actually turned it into a rental.
Okay.
And then we sold it a couple years later.
Well, all right, what's the status with the university?
Well, of course, like a lot of universities, I don't know if you know this, but Arizona, I think, furloughed, I don't know, I heard a report of about 14,000 people, staff, faculty, administrators. So it's hitting colleges and universities pretty hard, and it's hitting us hard. One of my dear colleagues yesterday, I found out he had been terminated. So we had a faculty senate meeting on Teams, and it was hard. It was really hard.
Well, do you guys have a date to come back to school? Or are you planning on bringing students back? What are you doing?
In the fall, we plan to have classes, in-person classes. But the thing is, if you're in a high-risk group, and I'm the only one in my department that's not, I think, you have to isolate and teach classes via Zoom.
You mean
I might be the only economist in our department.
All right, so you're the only guy under 50 is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, honestly, young people, I don't know why this is not getting any press, but young people, kids, people under 30, man, you know, people get criticized for saying this, but, you know, overall, it's got the coronavirus has a higher fatality rate, case fatality rate than the flu, maybe slightly higher, maybe double. But people under 30 have almost no risk.
Yeah, they don't know they have it.
There's really low risk for young people. And to close the schools, in my opinion, is just wrong.
Well, did you see the study by the gentleman in Italy? Italy? I'm reading so many studies now. That young people who are asymptomatic, don't even really spread it.
Yeah. Well, the World Health Organization.
Yeah, it was World Health Organization. Yeah.
On Thursday, but they had to backtrack on Friday because of political pressure, in my opinion.
Hey, when did you ever see such political pressure on a disease? We have to hang with the dumb decision we made. And actually, the decision people made, I'm one of the group, Hal, it says, for a city like Chicago, state like Illinois, which was starting to get hospital backups and so forth, I don't have any problem with, on St. Patrick's Day, although they should have waited a day, you need to be able to go to a bar on St. Patrick's Day, on St. Patrick's Day, shutting things down for 15 days just to see what they had, or 30.
Yeah.
But to keep it going just to prove you were right, to me, is unconscionable. And then I don't know how crazy it was out there, but here you were picking winners. This store could be open, that store could not be open, or you could sell booze out of liquor stores, you can't sell them out of a bar. I mean you know, it's just crazy crap. But what
well, government bureaucrats and staffers, and were they prevented from going to work? I don't think so.
Yeah, let's put this. Who do you believe, Hal? In their mind, my alderwoman, who I think the whole staff is fairly useless, they've been sending me an email every week. They'll stay at home and get paid till the hell freezes over. They don't care.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, there's a very, it was, and it, it, you know, in some areas it's getting even worse. There's a huge, shall we say, brawl about to be fought one of these days, hopefully not publicly, between the people who want to stay home and get paid and the people who are paying them and going to work and taking the risk. I mean, one of my buddies is from Napertucky, I call it, Naperville, and his kid goes to school, and he says, well, normally he figures the teacher has to leave at 7:30 in the morning, comes home at 4:30 and teaches kids for whatever, 6 hours. He says, now the kid's got like an hour and a half in the morning and an hour in the afternoon. And the teachers don't even want to open up next year. Well, of course they don't. I mean, some probably do. Some are, probably very dedicated.
If you can get paid.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when our kids were sent home, I had to teach my classes. I had to teach him as if I was in the classroom on Zoom. I was grading homework like you can't believe. My duties did not change. Instead of being in the classroom, I was on a Zoom chat in my bedroom with my students. Meanwhile, my wife and I, mostly my wife, we were essentially our kids' teachers. And it was, that first couple of weeks was rough, man. I think our school kind of scaled some stuff back eventually, but it was like we were the teachers for 2 weeks. Plus, I had my job to do. And, a lot of my colleagues don't understand how bad it was because, their kids are all, I think they're all out of college by now, easily. But, man, when you have four kids at home and three of them go to different classrooms and have three different teachers, and we have our 11-year-old, it was hard. There were articles about professors who are single parents who had, that I read about who had special needs kids, and they have to teach their classes. They have special needs kids who need to be homeschooled, and then they have other kids who don't have the special needs, and the professors that I read about were like crying about how hard it was.
Professor, I don't think that most of the people who we got caught here in Illinois, and again, you can rag on people all you want, it doesn't do any good, but we just got caught with a bunch of freshmen in charge of everything. We just got caught with people that have never made decisions, never really have been in a small business, don't realize, what it takes to, but what I wanted to, Shelby, at you, since you are a full economics professor, did you see these debt numbers yesterday?
I saw that the national debt popped from about 22 to 26 trillion.
Right? The total domestic non-financial debt jumped 11.7% in the quarter. This is people, and it increased 3.2% in the first quarter, and household wealth went down. So yeah. I mean, that is really dramatic, and I don't see. Yeah. I mean, the idea of a barbershop not being open. I just the whole idea that once you tell people what all the dangers are, most people, especially the older people, I'm going to say if I was 25 years old, I'd be playing basketball this afternoon. I'd find a place where Lori wasn't looking for me.
Oh yeah.
I mean, now I also understand that one of our contributors to the show, Eric May, Eric is very concerned because his girlfriend, and she's terrific, is trying to work somewhat and socialize somewhat, but she is taking care of her like 85-year-old mother. So they are incredibly careful because the last thing they want is her walking home to a disease to her mom. So yeah. I absolutely get it, but Eric and Tina don't need Lori Lightfoot to tell them that.
No, they don't.
They understand that. And when we went out to one of our bars opened up last week, and Eric was there with the mask, and nobody else was, and I knew exactly why he had it on. And nobody's giving him crap about it because he wants to make sure that he's not, anywhere near a germ that he could possibly transmit to Tina and her to bring it home to her mother.
That points out to what this should be. It should be about choice.
Yeah.
Government providing unpolitical, non-political information with honesty and not talking about, we keep talking about cases. The caseload doesn't really matter. What really matters is what's going on with hospitalizations and what's going on with, death. That's what matters. But we keep talking about cases because I think the hospitalizations and the deaths from this thing must be softening it a little bit because they're only talking about cases here in Utah. The local news will talk about the cases spiking. Well, 80% of people that contract it are going to be fine. They're not going to get too sick. If they do get sick, they're probably going to recover, right? 80% of the people. So this idea that we should be worried about the number of cases, in my opinion, is ridiculous because 80% are going to be fine, right? It's the 1% of the caseload that's really at risk, and they're going to be either elderly or they're going to be, they're going to have some kind of underlying risk for death. And half the deaths, according to that UK study, half the deaths are probably people who are going to die within 6 months anyway. So,
well, you know, it's me, with all the crap that's going by,
my the government's got to do this in a way that provides us with information, and then we evaluate ourselves and our risk, and we make decisions for that best reflect what we should do for our families.
Well, that's right, and but you know what? We're not the only people that are thinking this. There's other people, and now my significant other is having her. Do the ladies in Utah get a birthday month?
A birthday month?
Yeah, a whole month that they celebrate their birthday.
I mean, if people want to celebrate their birthday for a month, I guess that's
well, here it's
I've never heard of a
Let's birthday. Say my Audrey and her lady pals. Everybody's got a birthday every month, so they're constantly. We're going on about 2 weeks on her birthday, but she's having her official party tonight, right? You know, it's a great group, and I love them all, including her. And but there's gangs in that group that'll tell you, I don't want anybody ever. I want you wearing a mask all the time. I don't want you like giving me a cold anymore. And one of my buddies, male, and it's not that he's all female. He said he was at the Home Depot, and the guy behind him sneezed. Like, oh, I wanted to shoot him. I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean,
yeah.
There were days, Hal, when I walked into the trading pit. Now, I was 35, and, you know, I was larger than life in my own stupid mind. I didn't care if people, people were sneezing on me, coughing on me. Somebody'd yell and they'd damn near blow my ear out. I mean, and I could see if I was 65 on those days when everybody in the pit had the flu or a cold. I might have taken the day off.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't back them. But that was my decision. You can tell me 80% of these idiots in here are a petri dish today. Fine. Just don't tell me not to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, you may be the dumbest thing on earth, but this idea of being able to tell other people what to do, it's not all that unpleasant for a significant part of our conversation or our population. I mean, I was a few weeks ago. We actually had a nice day on a Sunday, before we should have, it was like in April. And of course everybody, the park district had just had a huge PR thing about how because of the pandemic, we're not going to, your fishing license, you don't need a fishing license, you can go out and fish. So of course I go by the park district, Forest Preserve, not the park district, and, there's a lot of cars out there. And I didn't see anybody. It wasn't like they were having a Mazzola party or something. I mean, there's people fishing. And obviously, if you went out there with your son, you're fishing next to him or something. I didn't see anybody doing anything crazy. There's people on the walk. There's a lot of paths out there, horses and so on. Next week, all the parking lots closed. So somebody must have put their stupid cell phone up or smartphone and sent the picture into Tony Preckwinkle's office and, oh, God, these people are having, like, too much fun. Do we think that anybody there fishing that day contracted a disease from some fish or the guy next to him? We have no data for anything. It's just people telling people what to do.
Well, being outside is actually, this is what's really crazy. I mean, from what I've seen and read and observed from scientists, the coronavirus does not survive outside in the sunshine. We're talking, seconds. And then there's all kinds of we're exposed to all kinds of viruses. All kinds of viruses and bacteria. And when you put somebody in a bubble in their house, they're not going to be exposed to all those viruses and bacteria that exercise their immune system. And so when you unlock a group of people who have been isolating in their sterilized houses because people are so freaked out, they scrub it with all kinds of, antibacterial, antivirus cleansers. They step outside, man. Those millions of viruses and bacteria that we were exposed to, now those things might have a negative effect on us.
Well, one of the
I just don't buy it. Being outside, you get sunshine. Your body produces vitamin D3, which is why we get cold, because in the winter, we're not getting that sunshine. We're covered up while we're indoors all day long. So a lot of this, which strikes me as odd, the CDC never talks about diet, ever. And there's research in China that says people who have diets rich in selenium, the death rate of those people with diets in certain provinces or cities that have diets rich in selenium have a far lower case fatality rate than those people that don't. So selenium is important.
Well, the person who wrote this article regarding the statistics, he was wondering if a certain cold strain might have been going through some area, and that the cold strain, the antibodies, the cold strain actually work on this too.
The common cold is the coronavirus.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hey, but let's drive our way back here to with these debt numbers. Now they go into the mortgages, Hal, and are saying the mortgage debt has increased dramatically because obviously everybody can refinance is refinancing, and they're putting more money on it than if they can. Obviously, you'd have to be an idiot not to put your $10,000 credit card debt on the new mortgage at 3% instead of 25%. How do we? And who knows when the unemployment rate's going to drop dramatically? And how are we going to pay individuals as well as people? Governments going to pay this off? And we've got Illinois mad at the president for a lot of reasons. I mean, he's eminently a guy you want to be mad at. But how many states were like a month away from that, from bouncing their unemployment checks, and they're getting loans from the federal? I mean, at some point, I see people, as you know, I know a lot of guys in the restaurant bar business, just because if you know one, you know, they all go to each other's places and you talk to them while you're there. There are guys sitting there going, okay, for 2 months, I got the cash. 3 months, I'm digging into my IRA. 4 months, it's on the credit card. And these governors, we're going another 30 days. We're going another 30. These guys are like horrified. Now, I don't know how they come back with 25 or 30% seating outside. I've heard some good numbers. One of the places that I like is, next time you come to town, we'll go over there. Martin Anthony's, terrific place. Well, last year, they somehow bought the lot next door. And we're fixing it up just kind of almost as a lark. Now all of a sudden, they actually got way more seating outside than they do inside. So they kind of fell into this for the last 2 weeks. They're actually doing pretty well. But they had enough money. They owned the building where they were okay to weather the storm. But I don't see, how the hell do these places, I mean, you go up by Audrey's in Orland, God, hell, every one of these places has got to be a $5-6 million place. They're these gorgeous new restaurants. How do you pay that nut and not be open for 3-4 months and come back from that? I mean, I'm sitting here going, how do you, and then you have a mayor or somebody who says, well, we're going to let people open with 25%. I'm going to say that you probably got to hire 60% of your people to feed 25%. You're probably worse off than closed.
Well, there was a Boston restaurateur on a Barney, I think, last week, and he was saying he is better off not running, not having anybody working for him. He's better off shutting down and paying his rent than he would be if he opened at 25%. So he's not going to open his restaurants if the governor or the mayor say, well, you can only have 25% occupancy.
What does he need, 50 or 60?
Yeah. So he's just not going to do it at 25. He's going to remain shut down.
How do we elect people that don't
know? He loses more money with 25% capacity than he would with serving zero.
Hell, how do we elect people that don't know these numbers?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think what we do is, after being on Facebook for 2 or 3 months during this whole thing, I'm actually convinced that very little critical thinking is being done by voters, by politicians. They're just, if you're a Trump supporter, you think it's a big conspiracy to dethrone him. If you're a Trump hater, you're all in. You buy it hook, line, and sinker. And there is nothing in between. There's absolutely zero, in my opinion, critical thinking going on. And the Democrats, They're just goose-stepping to it. The media goose-stepping to it because they hate Trump just as much as the Democrats do. And the Republicans are just the opposite. And to me, it's just, there's absolutely no critical thinking going on. I think social media experiences on Twitter and Facebook amplify it. And, you know, the universities are filled. The universities are filled with people like the Nobel Prize-winning Michael Levitt. I think it was Michael Levitt from Stanford. They're filled with people like that. And yet, I brought this up to my colleague who got laid off yesterday. Their universities filled with people who are virologists and immunologists and medical professionals who don't agree with... There's a lot of people that don't agree with it, or a few people that don't agree with it. But they're not heard from. The universities are filled with people. And the universities are just goose-stepping to the narrative that pharmacy, immunology, and government are pushing. And that only that one narrative is allowed to be heard on social media. But the universities are filled with people. And my question to him was, why are these universities so quiet? Why don't they stand up and say, you know what? The modeling is bad. It might be political. But they don't say anything. They're so quiet about it.
I think they probably do.
Universities aren't engaging in critical thinking.
You know what? Hell, I think they probably do, but they don't have the platform. I mean, I'll read stuff here, and yesterday it was, without going to names, it was two sports figures and two actors from years ago, and they got a headline with a one-word comment and an opinion on something. It wasn't like they wrote a column somewhere that it was well thought out, and here's what I think, and here's why, and here's my basis, like you would expect in a paper from one of your kids, or even one of your six-year-olds, for God's sake. But nobody has to have any backup to anything anymore. You just have an opinion.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a big Twitter feed, you get a lot of press.
Well, the only thing I will say that, as you know, I rag at the regulators all the time. But one thing I will say thank you very much is because I'm a registered person with like 90 different numbers after my name. I really can't have, I could, but I don't want to have a Facebook or a Twitter. Because that's considered communication to customers or clients, and it would have to be monitored and so forth. So thank God that they prevent me from doing that. I'm so happy. When you write something, when I used to write, as a matter of fact, I think what we're going to do, we're going to try and have a column that's written by the show every week with everybody who comes on, maybe taking turns writing it. I would expect people on the show are going to have an opinion. May not be one I or a lot of listeners would like, or maybe they would, but I would expect people to back it up. Not like Kevin Costner says Black Lives Matter. I'm sure Kevin Costner absolutely thinks that Black Lives Matter, but what does that do for me? I mean, it's not like he wrote something where here's a solution to this problem and why, which I'd love to hear, by the way, if somebody actually has some solutions. Instead of, somebody's pissed off at the police. Well, so what? I mean, give me a solution. What's the solution? How's it going to be better tomorrow because of something you put together? I don't see that anywhere, Harold. SP Futures up 53.
I don't see any viable solutions to what's going on.
We got to go to break here. We'll be right back. SP Futures up 53. We're about a third of the way back, y'all. NASDAQ Futures up 124. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so.
I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. She's AV on the board, backed by, I guess, popular demand. Was it popular, you think?
I hope so.
Yes. Yeah, well, she's back.
Was
it? I don't know. We'll see what people say when they tweet in. I think so. S&P futures up 52. NASDAQ futures up 119. Dow futures up 480. Over in Europe, we've got bounces here as well, but not as much. DAX up 50.4%. They were more earlier. FTSE up 48.8%. CAC round up 62.1%. In Asia, we've got Nikkei down 167.8, they're catching up yesterday a little bit. Shanghai down 1, call that flat. Hang Seng down 178.7%. Just a review, not that anybody wants to see this, of the carnage of yesterday. Dow Jones Industrials down 1861, that's 6.9%. As you say, the trading floor, whack, whack, whack. S&P futures down 188, that's 6%. NASDAQ down 527, 5.3%. So NASDAQ, I guess, was the best of the bunch. Bonds, 0.69. That's up 4 ticks. They were down pretty heavy yesterday. Bund minus 0.43. In Japan, positive 0.02. We've got oil up 23 cents, 36.57. Oil took a hit yesterday as well. Virtually everything took a hit yesterday. Gold, silver, you name it. The value of my Suburban probably went down, for God's sake. Went up 30 cents, 38.85. Natural gas, 180. RBOB, 111. Gold, we've got gold up 710, 1746. Big gain this week in gold, although the GDX is lagging, the gold miners. Silver over down 15 cents, 1773. Hey, V, what do you ask for? Traffic, weather, sports. Not much traffic, no sports.
Not much traffic, not much sports, but at least despite of all the political and economic obstacles that we're having right now, we have a nice, beautiful weather that we can enjoy, finally. The most beautiful season in Chicago. It's 64 degrees right now. The highest of the day is 67. Clear skies, sunny, pleasant, and just beautiful Friday. 80 degrees in Phoenix, hot and sunny as usual. And in traffic, we have one accident on Tri-State North before Jane Addams Tollway, which blocking the right lane. And expected delays can be up to 20 minutes. Other than that, no accidents, but there's some traffic volume on Stevenson North from South Central up to Pulaski, and also the exit ramp is closed from inbound Eisenhower to the outbound Kennedy due to construction, so it might cause some insignificant delays. That's all I got for you guys.
So, Hal, if you were one of these guys that wants to defund the police and get rid of them all because you think there's something wrong with all of them, you come to Chicago right now, spend a couple hours there just driving around. The anarchy is absolutely hit the pavement. There is no police anywhere. Nobody will pull anybody over. If you can't spot a guy going 100, 110 next to you on an expressway in 10 minutes, you're not looking hard enough. It's people in the morning now going through red lights. It's something you would never believe that you actually would see in a city that, you know, used to have some semblance of law and order. Yesterday I went out to a former Ford board member, a friend of mine, wanted to do some dinner, so we met out. And I'm on LaGrange Road, I don't even know where that is. And it's got stoplights. It's, you know, it's a 50 mile an hour. So all of a sudden the light turns yellow and there's no way I'm going to go through this thing. I hit the brakes, and I didn't have to skid or anything, but it was a, you know, fairly quick stop. Thank God I was in the right lane. In the left lane, four cars went through after I was stopped when it was stone cold red. The last guy had a pickup truck, and all he heard was the engine because he was gunning it. By the time he hit the intersection, he had to be going 75. If he'd have hit somebody, wow. If he'd have hit somebody, you'd have been picking the pieces out with a spoon. And yet, you never see a policeman, ever. And if you did, he's not pulling anybody over because he's afraid of getting filmed or sued or something, whatever he's afraid of. But either way, you're not. It is absolute anarchy. I don't know if you're seeing that out where you are. Probably not.
No, actually, I haven't really seen much change. I mean, traffic is normal. It seems pretty normal. We got it gets busy around 5 o'clock. So to me, it kind of feels like it was about a year ago in Utah. I mean, the only thing you can't do in Utah is I can't take my kids to McDonald's, let them play in the play place while I access the Wi-Fi, you know. Seems like that's the only thing that we can't do. And then there's no, you know, sports other than AA Korean baseball on ESPN.
Hey, let's get back to, since you are the professor of economics, what do you make of, I don't know if you listen to the show once in a while when Jeff is on, but he's having a, the Luckbox magazine, which is really something. Have you ever looked at it? They are so, I don't know if it's Jeff, because he's a pretty bright dude, or somebody is like, they were a month ahead of this Chinese problem. They had a big article on China doing business over there. It wasn't all that flattering. And now they have this one lady who's going to become she's wrote this book about the new monetary theory. And now that she's going to become the, I guess, attractive face of the new monetary theory, which to me is all BS. But actually, it's not all BS because...
it's not new. It's 300 years old.
Yeah, oh yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. But the weird part of it is they take from a treatise, and as you probably can guess, Al, even being going on a little bit instead of listening all week, my new thing is when people lie, it's because they tell half the story.
Yeah.
And... so now the new monetary theorist, the theory is if you control your own currency, the government will never go broke. Now, or never not be able to pay their bills. Now, I'm going to say, Al, that that's absolutely correct, but it's only 1% of the story. What about everybody else?
What about the other nations? I mean, if the other nations are doing the exact same thing, and you're the reserve currency of the world... and they're being irresponsible. I guess you can be irresponsible, right?
Well, but
if you're being as irresponsible as say China or Russia or India, and they're doing the same thing, and you're the reserve currency, and you're the least worth currency, I mean, I guess you can debase your currency.
Well, and you can. We had three countries that I know of. I'm sure there's more. That's why you're the professor. I did some study on the Weimar Republic, Venezuela, which is very hard to get any data from, by the way, and Iran, yeah. Which surprisingly I was able to get some pretty good data on recently. Mm-hmm. And Weimar Republic, the government ended up fine. Every single German citizen that had any money was screwed. So yeah, here if we debase the currency to the point where the money's not worth anything, the government will be fine. The rest of us won't be. Right?
Oh, I totally agree with it. Yeah. I mean, it's just an old story, and it can't end well. And who it's going to end up benefiting? It's not going to benefit the average American. That monetary policy is not going to benefit them.
No.
I think the Fed stimulus. I think Powell actually acknowledged this in a news conference. He actually acknowledged it. That, you know, the average American is not benefiting from their monetary policy.
All they do is talk about how they want to benefit the average American. They say so, and yet they do exactly
that's their intention. That's their intention, but actions or words are two different things. I don't care what people intend. What I care about is what are the consequences of the action, and I don't see the Fed benefiting. And this whole stock market run up from 18,000 to. What, 26,000 before yesterday? A lot of it was just money printing, right?
Well, that's why I want to
take. Not average Joe Schmo who's unemployed. It benefits a small group of people.
But you have to be part of it. You know, and that's why I haven't sold any calls for my clients. Well, I did the other day actually, but somewhere at the top. Once in a while, you get to catch a good one, right? But we've been making the puts very snug. Matter of fact, before yesterday, we snugged my guy, snuck the puts up right to the strike at everywhere we've got. So yesterday, we actually had a very, very moderate down day, and we were able to roll them down. So today, this is actually really good for us. But I was explaining, I want your opinion on this, please. My lovely girlfriend and her pals, they're all self-made people. Real estate, lawyers, mortgage people. They're like you and me. I mean, you're a professor. I mean, you work for somebody, but you just happen to be a professor anywhere. You're a self-made guy. Nobody like us likes to take any largesse from anybody. I don't need it. That's not.
I don't want to either. Yeah.
Yeah. But I never thought, you've been on the show enough, please don't like say you're never coming back because I'm going to say this. This is different, Hal. This is different. And I was trying to explain this. How do you do when trying to explain things to your wife and three of her pals? How does that work out for you?
Actually, my wife is finishing up an economics degree because she would have. You know, I'd wake up in the morning, you know, before the triplets, and I would just start talking about economics and politics, and it was Greek to her. So she's finishing up an economics degree.
Hey, good for her!
And now she can follow my reasoning, I guess. Right?
Well, don't tell me you had her in class. Did she tell you? Well, you were a professor?
Well, I was a professor for her. She took my money in banking class because she needed an elective,
okay.
And there was a. Nothing to take that semester, so she took my money in banking class.
Good for you.
But her favorite professors are not me. Her favorite professors are my colleagues, John and Dick.
Do you imagine that? Yeah. Anyway, my question is I was trying to explain to them if the Fed debases the currency by 25%, and you have saved your life and you got. You know, a couple hundred grand in the bank, and you're still working, you're still selling houses, you're still doing mortgage, whatever it is you're doing, you're still teaching. If they're going to do that, and they're going to jam money at people, I'm not talking about the $1,200. I'm talking about the business. If Hal's Bar and Grill doesn't get the loan, okay, when everybody else does, the forgivable loan. If you don't partake of it, and I would never say this ever up until this time, if you don't partake of it and get your 40 grand that you can pay the people with and then have it being forgiven, you'd say, I don't really deserve that. I'm paying my people anyway. I'm going to say, Hal, that next year or the year after, you're going to get a tax bill that's going to come and get that 40 grand from you. And if you didn't go get it in the first place, you're behind the curve.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it has nothing to do with whether you don't deserve it while you're homeless, simpering, and screaming. If they're saying, we're giving out chicken dinners tonight, and by the way, the bill's going to come one of these days, we just don't know when. For you to not get the chicken dinner and then get the bill is, I'm almost going to use the term ignorant, because the times have changed. You need to partake of it, because they're doing something so stupid that if you don't, you're behind the eight ball. It's like,
yeah, because your competitors are taking it, right?
Yeah, it's just like if you and I had a huge drug company 25 years ago, and we were so righteous, which we probably would have been. I mean, I know I would have been stupid enough to do this. If we didn't take our country overseas, our company overseas, and not pay taxes for 25 years, where would that put us competitively with the other people who did? And all of a sudden now we want to bid for a company that's got a vaccine for the coronavirus, which I hope somebody does, and now we can't bid anywhere near what the other guys did. But there's a difference between, I mean, once it gets so absurd and the government lets it go so crazy, that if you're not one of those places, now obviously my solution would have been the government tell all those people to get their ass back here, pay the regular amount like everybody else. But that didn't happen. Right? But it's like you can't be the one university that's paying property taxes when none of the other guys are. I can't believe I'm ever saying stuff like that. But it's getting true the way these guys govern the place.
I know. Well, it's almost like, I mean, to me, it's almost like they want, I mean, honestly, I think they want us to be dependent on them. I mean, they're the saviors, they're the kings, the Democrats and Republicans. I mean, what do they really do? In my opinion, what the Democrats and Republicans do is they, I don't think we live in a market system. I think we live in a neo-mercantile system.
Sure we do. Well, that's...
The politician's job is to pass out favors to their friends, families, and donors. And these favors are in the form of power and privilege. We keep hearing about this privilege thing. The politician's job is to make sure their friends, family, and donors have privileges. And Republicans do it and Democrats do it. And that's my opinion, is the purpose of these politicians.
Well,
a mercantile system.
You'd be a serious follower of George Stigler.
Yeah.
It was absolutely convinced. I mean, how many times on the show per month do I have somebody will say, well, if politics was only run as a business, George Stigler would say it's exactly run like a business. It's just a different business.
Yes, they sell.
Yeah.
They literally sell power and privilege.
Yes.
That's what they sell.
To a certain degree. I mean, to a certain degree. I mean, there's a company. I mean, there's no question. I don't think, Hal, that if you and I were alive during 1942, that we wouldn't be stunned if AV's PT boat motor manufacturer in Buffalo or wherever the hell they were made was made with the contract was 5 or 10% more than maybe a really hard bid contract would have been. But by the way, AV's drinking and shopping in Buffalo, and the money's staying right there, and it's staying here, and basically who gives a crap, right? But that's different than forever, you know, taking a company like Merck or Pfizer or Forest Labs or somebody, where they thumb their nose right at you and take the money overseas elsewhere, don't even spend it here, and don't even pay your taxes. I mean, that kind of, and they just pay off senators and legislators. That's a whole different program, in my mind, in terms of size, than somebody getting 5% extra for a PT boat motor in 1942 and spending the money in a local saloon. I mean, it's not even on the same planet, in my mind. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just to me, this whole thing. this bailout, the COVID lockdown, to me, it's just, honestly, it's just a massive government failure. And I'm actually pretty frustrated by it. I've turned more into, I told my students in a Zoom chat that I'm more of, if I can go get a PhD in virology or immunology or epidemiology, because I just see this whole thing, the Fed bailout, the fiscal stimulus that they use to save the economy, the economic lockdown. To me, it's just one massive government failure. Almost like World War One was.
I think you're absolutely right. Now, my question is, say we agree on that. You have not been. If you were been in downtown Chicago the last 10 weeks, you'd be horrified. It's like a neutron bomb hit the place.
Oh, no, I saw the. I was listening to the chat that the aldermen were having with the mayor.
Oh,
where
God.
She was telling the aldermen that they're full of,
yeah.
You know. And the aldermen were crying on this Teams chat or Zoom chat with the mayor, because their districts are just destroyed. I mean, one was saying, why would Walmart or CVS want to even come back to my district? Because there's no police presence. And people or looters are just destroying my district.
Yeah.
Why would anybody want to come back here?
And so, somehow she is, when you have this kind of a deal, and I, you know, is it an individual, personal level, I don't think against the lady, but when you have this kind of an election where there's so many people running with, and everybody's disgusted or something, and a total freshman comes out with 90,000 votes, no support, no background, no nothing of any kind of consequence that I could see. Jay Pritzker's the same way. It's not a black thing. It's not a woman thing. I mean, and all of a sudden these people are in, and something bad happens. Why do you expect Solomon, for God's sake? You're not going to get it. If you do, it's a rare event, and it just somewhat happens, and you're really lucked out, right? I mean,
I think bad political decision making, which is highlighted by the Chinese Communist Party decision making with regard to Wuhan and the virus spread there. When you're running a government, like in China, for example, and you own the media, and you own social media, and you tell your people that if you don't, if your social media presence is contradicting the policies of the Communist Party and is too critical, I mean, who's going to hold you accountable? You can make the worst decisions. But when you own the media, the social media, and you regulate people's written thought, posted thought, online thought, you can be as reckless.
Oh, sure.
There's nobody holding you accountable. So, I mean, I see that with the mayor of Chicago. You know, she's not a bad person, in my opinion, but the media, you know, the media that backs her. So if she says something, they don't question you. So that leads, that right there leads to bad decision making. The media's got to be independent of government to ask critical questions, critical thinking questions.
Well, they don't. I mean, you listen,
and they don't. They goose step with it. They goose step.
Well, why do you?
I mean, politicians they'd like.
Do you think the Powell's press conference would have sounded a lot different if you and I were in the audience asking questions?
Oh yeah. I mean, I would have been grilling Fauci and Briggs. I would have been grilling them from the get-go. I would have been grilling about diet. What are the recommendations on food, tying zinc and quercetin? I would have been, you know, grilling them on the effects of selenium in your diet. I would have been grilling them. I would not have been taking it. I would not have been goose-stepping in those.
Carl, what do you, with shift gears, don't have that much time, what do you think happens economically and legally in downtown Chicago and other places going forward? I mean, I already have talked to some people. A, they're getting the unemployment, so they're pretty happy with that. And if it gets extended to the end of the year, they're never going to say it's safe enough to come to work. They're just going to stay at home. Now, there's people already here. As a matter of fact, one big law firm didn't pay their rent for a few months. The building's suing them. There's people that are going to say your building's not safe. And what if a building like 175 West Jackson, which is a whole square block that probably has, I don't know how many thousand people are in the place, What if one person comes in and with COVID and they say, okay, it's not safe for anybody else. We're not paying rent. And the building says we're not paying our mortgage. I mean, have you ever seen anything like this in history? Where could this end on the legal side? I mean, are we going to need a federal law that says if somebody goes to Wrigley Field and thinks they got COVID at Wrigley Field, go screw yourself. You can't sue. Or, I mean, what are we going to do with this?
Yeah, that is a question I thought about too. I mean, like for example, if our school reopens and a kid contracts the virus, maybe they contract the virus, you know, at a nightclub or some other place, but they claim they got it on the campus. I mean, yeah, so, I mean, it's actually pretty scary, but I think what's going to end up happening is, I think the president, one thing I wish he would do is just say, you know what, unless you open your schools up to kids, you reopen your economies, you're not going to get any help from the federal government. And that's one thing that the president can do in terms of getting his governors to get rid of their lockdown orders. I mean, I think the lockdown orders are just ridiculous. But, you know, maybe businesses, like you said, are hesitant to reopen because they don't want that liability. They don't want that lawsuit that's going to come at them. So, you know, it's just, I never imagined the world we'd be living in right now, where businesses might be afraid to open because they might get sued over a COVID infection. I mean, can you imagine a lawsuit over a flu infection? I mean,
yeah, I mean, some of them, there's been some pretty bad flus.
It's just, to me, I mean, I can't even imagine. I mean, the whole thing, the last 3 months, to me, is like some really horrifying movie.
But there's people that feel that way.
There's no way I would have ever expected to happen.
No, but there's people that feel that way, though. If I come to work and if I'm on a, you know that the New York Stock Exchange, look how they added to the crap. When you, the 80 people that are working there every day have to sign every morning that they didn't ride public transportation.
Wow. Yeah, it's just mind-boggling about how crazy the last 3 months were, and I think it was based on bad modeling. I mean, you could tell from the get-go that these models were way off because they're using confirmed cases, and the confirmed cases, the only people that were being tested were the people that were sick enough to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
So of course they're going to test positive. So the denominator of these case fatality rates that were making the news, I was looking at them like, there's no way that that's accurate, because the denominator, if you teach statistics as much as I have, you know that case fatality rate is just flawed, because the only people, it's a selection issue, the only people that were getting tested were the people that were sick enough to go to the hospital. And I was doing back of the napkin calculations on Facebook with my other PhD buddies that I went to school with, and we're just flabbergasted about how over-exaggerated the narrative was. I mean, I had a buddy that was calculating odds ratios using actual data from China in spreadsheets on Facebook.
There's a square circle, actual data from China.
we were sharing data on results and data, and I was taking estimates that I was hearing from the CDC and the World Health Organization, and I was coming up with case fatality rates closer to the, maybe double the flu.
Well, we got to go here in a second, but early on, late January, one of our Cub reporters was in a Uber. The dude was from Western China. He said they already had way more than 1 million cases and over 100,000 dead in January. That's how bad it was. And we still have people in the news here saying China only had 80,000 confirmed cases. Are they out of their mind?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about Wuhan, I don't know if anybody knows this, but in July of last year, they had Hong Kong-style protests about how bad the air pollution was. And so the whole city, I mean, think about it, the residents of Wuhan had compromised health, and that compromised health probably involved, most of it was involving lung health. And this virus is respiratory.
Yeah, well, Carol claims, we got a dash, but Carol claims, that he he was digging around for me. He researches like there's no tomorrow. He claims that he can find this virus now as far back as August over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And maybe
that's a law on the Chinese Communist Party held on to the information.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, their culpability here is,
well,
in my
about,
opinion,
how
is
about, U.S.
borderline
how about U.S. businesses, and we got a dash after this, that flew people back and forth knowing there was a problem. SP Futures up 61. Al, do not be a stranger, buddy. If we start writing that column every week, you'll certainly be included. Good luck to yourself. Get back out on that, I was going to say Winnebago, but it's way nicer than that. Talk to you soon. Be back on Monday, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.